and so we will move into our agenda with item number 6. Item number 6 is case number CPC 2020516 DB PSH SIP. The project is located at 1141 through 1145 South Crenshaw Boulevard within Council District 10. I do see that Commissioner Learn has her hand raised, so I will go ahead and unmute her.
Thank you. I wanted to state for the record that the architect on this project has supported the nonprofit organization that I'm part of, but I am able to remain impartial on this case.
Thank you, Helen. Cecilia, are there any day of submissions on this item?
Good morning, Commissioner. Cecilia Lamas for the record. We do not have any day of submissions for this item at this time. Commissioner Millman, you're muted.
I'm speaking to no one. What I said was, at this time, we are going to hear from City Planning Staff Jim Harris. Jim, please go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, and good morning. Hello, Commissioners. My name is Jim Harris with City Planning. Before you is the Solaris Apartment Project, located at 1141 through 1145 South Crenshaw Boulevard in the Wilshire Community Plan area. If we move along to slide 2, we have a vicinity map of the project. The project site is located between Mid-City and Central LA on Crenshaw Boulevard, between Olympic Boulevard to the north and Pico Boulevard to the south. There are major transit stops at both Olympic and Crenshaw and Pico Crenshaw intersections. The site is approximately 1 mile west of Western Avenue and 1.2 miles north of the Santa Monica Freeway Interstate 10. We move along to slide 3. We have a ZMIS map of the existing land use and zoning. The project is on 2 lots. And as listed in the Wilshire Community Plan, the northern lot, 1141 South Crenshaw Boulevard, is zoned C2-1-0 with a neighborhood office commercial land use. And the southern lot at 1145 South Crenshaw Boulevard is split zoned with an R1-1-0 low 2 residential at the rear. And the remainder is R3-1-0 medium residential. Note that the project is not using the R1 zoned area for development of floor area calculations. The R1 zone is used solely for the purpose of averaging of the distribution of trees for the project. The suffix O indicates an oil drilling district, and the height district 1 limits the floor area ratio and building height to 321 FAR and 45 feet in height for the R3 zone, and 1.5:1 FAR for an unlimited height for the C2 zone. We're moving along to slide 4. The slide shows the surrounding properties. To the south, which is the left-hand side of the image, are two-story commercial structures. To the east, across Crenshaw Boulevard, are single and two-story commercial buildings. And to the north are also single-story commercial buildings. To the west of the site are single and multi-story, single and multi-family residences. There is a historic preservation overlay zone, the Oxford Square HPOZ, to the west of the site, but no portion of the project site is within that HPOZ. And as you can see, the site is currently a private surface parking lot with no trees either on the site or in the public right-of-way. Slide 5. Here we have a street view of the site, and it shows the existing parking lot. Slide 6. This slide shows an overview of the project. The proposed is a 100% permanent supportive housing project with 43 dwelling units, 42 of which are reserved for low-income households and one manager's unit. The project will be 5 stories with a maximum height of 65 feet. There will be 56,240 square feet of floor area and a floor area ratio of 4.91:1. The project is providing 8 automobile parking spaces and 42 bicycle parking spaces, as well as 3,550 square feet of open space with 11 trees. And moving along to slide 7, we have an outline of the project's requested entitlements. The project qualifies for Assembly Bill 2162 Streamlined Infill Project as a priority supportive housing project and, as such, is ministerial and not subject to CEQA. The applicant is requesting a density bonus affordable housing incentive program review with 1 on-menu incentive, 3 off-menu incentives, and 3 waivers of development standards. If we move along to slide 8, here we have a list of those on and off-menu incentives. The applicant is requesting an on-menu incentive of averaging. The averaging of density, FAR, parking, and access across the R3 and C2 zones only, and the averaging of the required trees across all zones. The off-menu incentives include a 25% reduction in the required open space from 4,725 square feet to 3,550 square feet, a request for a 4.91 to 1 floor area ratio across the R3 and C2 zones in lieu of the 3 to 1 and 1.51 FAR respectively, and relief from a transitional height required for the portion of the project located in that C2 zone to allow the 65-foot building. Moving along to slide 9, the slide shows the requested waivers from the development standards. The applicant is requesting reduction in the front yard setback for the portion of the project located in the R3 zone as a transition from the 0-foot front yard setback in the C2 zone to the 15-foot front yard setback in the abutting property to the south of the site. The other requested waivers are for the reduction of the northerly and southerly side yard setbacks from 8 feet to 5 feet. Of note, this project is ministerially eligible for a 33-foot increase in building height pursuant to Assembly Bill 1763 in lieu of the otherwise permitted 45 feet in the R3-1-0 zone. As such, the applicant was not required to request a height increase to 65 feet under the current density bonus. The incentives and waivers allow the applicant to expand the building envelope so the additional units can be constructed and the overall space dedicated to residential and support services uses can be increased. The project is a 100% supportive housing project with 42 units restricted to low-income households and 1 manager's unit for a period of 55 years and is located within 1/2 mile of major transit stops and is therefore eligible for the waivers and incentives. Moving along to slide 10, this slide shows an outline of Assembly Bill 2162 for streamlined infill projects, priority supportive housing projects. Assembly Bill 2162 requires that local governments approve supportive housing developments that comply with a set of eligibility criteria. These criteria include affordable covenants for 55 years, 100% of the units excluding the manager's unit must be dedicated to low-income households, at least 25% of the units or 12 units, whichever is greater, must be for a target population, a supportive service plan must be provided, at least 3% of non-residential floor area must be for supportive services. Each unit must have a kitchen, and the project must also include housing replacement requirements. If eligible, which this project is, the project is classified as ministerial and is limited to objective zoning and design standards only, and final approval must be completed within 60 days for a project with less than 50 units. As such, eligible AB 2162 projects are exempt from CEQA and are eligible for reduced automobile parking requirements. We move along to slide 11. This slide shows the planning staff recommendation to commission. To determine that the project is a streamlined infill project, is a supportive housing project, and that the project is exempt from CEQA. Approve a density bonus compliance review for 1 on-menu incentive, 3 off-menu incentives, and 3 waivers of development standards. And then to my final slide, slide 12. Slide 12 shows a rendering of the proposed project's Crenshaw frontage. And to date, planning has received 5 requests for information from property owners in the surrounding area, and 3 public comments were submitted. 1 abutting neighbor to the north requested consideration of building height for the visibility of a billboard. 1 abutting neighbor to the west mentioned retaining wall, fencing, and flood zone standards be followed, as well as building height. And 1 neighbor within a 500-foot radius of the project site brought forth concerns as submitted to commission. And this concludes staff presentation, and we are always available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Commissioners, are there any technical questions at this time? Seeing none, I'd like to invite the applicant's representative, Olivia Johnsich. Olivia, please state your name clearly and proceed with telling me how much time you'd like to address the commission.
Sure. Hi, my name is Olivia Johnsich, and I need about 8 minutes.
Great. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm on slide one, which also shows a rendering of the project. I'm here presenting today on behalf of the applicant for a 43-unit supportive housing project located at 1141 through 1145 Crenshaw Boulevard, also known as Solaris Apartments. Again, slide one shows the project rendering from Crenshaw Boulevard. Moving on to slide two, this includes the project team. This project is the result of a partnership between Domus Development Company, Genesee Center, and the Koreatown Youth and Community Center, or KYCC. We have members of each organization on the call today. Domus is an experienced developer of affordable housing with over 1,000 affordable units located throughout California and a track record of quality, well-managed projects. Supportive services for residents will be provided by Genesee Center, which specializes in supporting families and victims of domestic violence, and KYCC, which has a focus on youth and families in Koreatown and the surrounding areas. KYCC also operates a child care center directly across the street from the project. Together, these three organizations have more than 100 collective years of experience in the supportive and affordable housing space. This project has already received funding commitments from Measure HHH, No Place Like Home, and project-based vouchers for the development and continued provision of supportive services. Services provided may include case management, legal services, benefits, counseling and advocacy, physical or mental health care, financial counseling, domestic violence support, and so much more. The intent of supportive housing is to ensure that residents have the tools they need to thrive in a stable housing environment. I'm now showing slide three. A quick correction on this slide, the second bullet point is supposed to say the zoning as C2, R3, R1. And so the project team that originally designed this project to be a by right TOC project compliant with the CR and C2 zone and submitted it to the Department of City Planning almost a year ago. After the Department of City Planning reviewed the case and the underlying zoning, they were informed that ZEMIS was incorrect and that the southern half of the site is actually zoned R3, while the northern half is still zoned C2. Unfortunately, this meant that the application for a 43-unit project entirely in the C-zone was no longer compliant with the TOC program. In order to avoid a costly and time-consuming redesign, potentially the loss of affordable units, the project team instead decided to change the entitlements and resubmitted the case before you today. The entitlements also include a request for supportive housing streamlining under State Law AB 2162, making the project ministerial. Without this unfortunate delay, the project would have been positioned to begin construction by the end of the summer. Nevertheless, an urgent approval by the commission today will enable the developer to produce 43 new units of supportive housing. Turning to slide four, the project was originally designed to be compliant with the TOC guidelines as they can be applied to a tier four 100% affordable project in a C zone. As explained, the entitlements had to be resubmitted, this time as an off-menu density bonus project in accordance with AB 1763 density bonus update. The project and building program has not changed at all between the two applications. The only difference is how the development standards and incentive requests are evaluated according to the density bonus law. The project, as designed today, provides 42 affordable and supportive units with access to supportive services, such as case management, benefits and financial counseling, referrals to healthcare services, employment training, and more. The project is not required to provide any parking, but will provide 8 spaces. Slide five shows the ground floor of the project, which includes a pedestrian and vehicular entrance off of Crenshaw Boulevard. There are 8 at-grade parking spaces, a lobby, laundry room, bicycle storage, and over 1,800 square feet of service space, which includes offices, and a double-height community room, which opens into the backyard. Per the Los Angeles Municipal Code and to respect the privacy of single-family neighbors to the west, no portion of the building is located in the R1 zone, and the required rear setback is measured from the R1 and R3 zone boundary line instead of the property line. This results in a setback of up to 52 feet from the adjacent neighbors. No portion of the open space is counted in the R1 portion, but there are trees planted in the rear. Moving on to slide six. This shows the stacked floor plan for floors 3 through 5 with 1 and 2 bedroom units lining a central courtyard, which provides open space at the podium level. As you can see, the massing of the building is oriented towards Crenshaw Boulevard. onto slide 7, which shows the elevations from the west for the rear of the property, which is set back again between 17 and 52 feet from the adjoining R1 zones, and also the elevation from the east along Crenshaw Boulevard. The architecture is designed with clean lines and ample vertical and horizontal articulation. On to slide 8, which restates the entitlement request as dictated by staff. Per the state law to AB 2162, this project is considered ministerial as it provides 100% affordable and supportive housing. As a ministerial project, it is exempt from CEQA. In a recently submitted public comment, there were several questions about the project's locations in a flood zone and its eligibility for an exemption. The project is in fact in the AO flood zone and, as stated in the staff report, will be subject to regulatory compliance measures, as is all development in the city located within this zone. Therefore, it is still eligible to utilize AB 2162. On to slide 9. The development team has conducted extremely robust outreach over the life of this project. For over a year, they have met with and presented to the Olympic Park Neighborhood Council 5 times and received support for the project. The development team has personally communicated with several members of the surrounding community to listen to their feedback and have also been in communication with the council office to ensure that all stakeholders were being heard.
2 minutes
finally,
remaining.
Finally, slide 10, the end of the presentation. As mentioned, the project has secured financing from 3 separate local public funding sources. An urgent approval of this project is necessary in order to meet the requisite milestones needed to maintain these funding commitments. We appreciate your time and urge you to approve this project to provide 43 new units of supportive housing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now open public testimony for this item. Each speaker who has pressed star 9 will have 1 minute to speak. If you would like to speak on this item, please press star 9 now. The commission staff will call out the last 4 digits of your phone number when it is your turn to speak. Please state your name clearly and then proceed with your comment. You will hear a message that states you are unmuted.
Thank you, Madam President. Marcus Cooper for the record. Caller 1107, you're unmuted.
Hi, my name is BK, and I own a single-family home directly adjacent to the proposed development site. What's not shown in this entitlement package is the fact that the development site is located approximately 10 feet higher than the adjacent single-family homes. When the developer is proposing to construct a 65-foot-tall building, it's essentially equivalent to a 75-foot-tall building from our windows. The LA Municipal Code clearly states that no additional building height per the density bonus shall be permitted within 50 feet from an R1 zone. A reference to this code section is included in my secondary submission letter for your reference. I'd like to request that the proposed development to be revised to be in compliance with this code section. Furthermore, I'd like to request that the existing 10-foot retaining wall along the property line to be reconstructed per the latest building code and seismic requirements for the safety of the neighbors and the future tenant, and a perimeter fence to be added to protect our privacy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller Steve Kang, you're unmuted.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Steve Kang, and I'm here speaking on behalf of KYCC, Koreatown Youth and Community Center. Founded in 1975, KYCC is a nonprofit serving the greater Koreatown area and the City of Los Angeles, providing a comprehensive array of social services from child care to environmental services for low-income youth and families. We are working with Genesee Center and Domus on this project, and we also have our Kidstown facility directly across from the site, which provides early childhood education with a trilingual curriculum in English, Spanish, and Korean. We are asking for your support on this project to help provide additional units of affordable housing for our diverse community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller 5096, you're unmuted. Caller 5096, you're unmuted.
Thank you. My name is Virginia. I'm commenting about that the zone 1145 was changed from a CR to an R3. They were using ordinance 655-65331, subarea 9670, which does not apply to the property. They're trying to change this. They're saying they apply, that the reason they didn't put any AB 1197 down or say that it claimed for it was because they would have to do a notice of exemption. The previous TOC that was submitted before this SIP claimed that it was it qualified for a CEQA exemption. So I'm just a little worried that the project that's being put forward to you today does not meet code, just like the other three places in the AO zone that should not be put there. And what you guys are expecting to is basically issue a waiver. And according to the city's flood code 72172081, non-essential public utilities, public and quasi-public facilities not be located in a special hazard zone. So you guys are going against the city ordinance. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Caller Maurice Ramirez, you're unmuted.
Hi, and good morning, commissioners. My name is Maurice Ramirez. I'm president of Domas Development. I am basically here requesting your support for this development. It's a project that we've worked with the Neighborhood Council for, as was mentioned, probably over a year. We worked with them in terms of the design, the height, the placement of the building, and ultimately were able to secure full support of their community council. I am basically just here if there are any additional questions that any of the commissioners might have. You can pipe me back in, but I think that the presentations have been pretty thorough. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, do we have any certified neighborhood council representatives that are available to speak? Seeing none, is there a council member representative present? Staff, can you please go ahead and unmute the council representative?
Caller 8210, you're unmuted.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me okay?
We sure can.
Thank you. Once again, good morning. My name is Jamie Huang. I'm one of the planning deputies for Councilmember Herb Wesson's office. I am here attending the Citywide Planning Commission meeting this morning to represent support for the proposed project at 1145 Crenshaw. We've met with the applicant's team multiple times throughout several years. We're supportive of having more permanent supportive housing, not just in CD10, but citywide period. We're excited to see this as a collaborative effort with some amazing service providers that CD10 has worked with for a long time in the community. So we're just here to voice our support for this PSH project. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I also see that we have another hand raised.
Hi, good morning. My name is Yasmin Tarver, and I am representing the Genesee Center. And the Genesee Center has offered over 40 years of life-serving services. We are a nationally recognized nonprofit domestic violence prevention and intervention organization. And Genesee works local, nationally, and globally to shine a light on violence against women, girls, men, and boys, with the basic human right for all people to have peace in their homes and their relationships. Genesee offers culturally sensitive programs and services that transition families from crisis but to self-sufficiency. And we provide a variety of support services, including mental health, counseling, independent life skills classes, computer training, job referrals, tutoring, direct legal services, and take a proactive stance in educating young people to learn what healthy relationships look like and to break the generational cycle of domestic violence. And we hope that you will approve this project so that we can continue to educate and prevent violence and provide people with peace and a stable place to live. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last raised hand, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Jim, is there anything you'd like to address? And in particular, maybe you can speak to the commenter who spoke about the distance from an R1 zone and not allowing additional height.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. This is Jim Harris, City Planning. The project is ministerially eligible for a up to 33-foot building height increase, which is three stories, pursuant to Assembly Bill 1763. So the project in the R3 zone, it did not need to request a waiver or an incentive for the height increase because it's ministerially eligible for this.
Thank you very much. The other comment I heard was about not placing public facilities in a flood zone, and I am assuming that PSH is not a public facility, and so that would not apply to this project. Okay, we will begin commission deliberation, and I see that Commissioner Perlman has raised his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute Dana.
Thank you. This question is either for Jim or for Amy. I didn't really understand Jim's response. It didn't really illuminate me with respect to the caller's comment on the restrictions next to R1 housing. Your response didn't indicate to me whether that assembly bill specifically lifted that restriction or somehow invalidates it. To me, there's two different things. One is ask whether they have to ask a variance for additional height for that specific lot. The second is whether that project can be right next to R1 housing. And I'm just hoping someone can shed some light for us on that. Thanks.
I can jump in. This is Jane Choi for the record. So through the state law, permanent supportive housing projects are allowed to have this height increase. So even though state law didn't explicitly override local code for transitional height, they are able to get that increase across their entire site. What I will add, I did hear the commenter say something about the slope of the site, making the height more extreme, but I will add that the way the code measures height still stands, and the way we account for height is to always measure from the lowest point, 5 feet out to the top, so it's not a straight height across the board, but it does take into consideration grade. So it's not like they're getting, let's see if the building is 60 feet across, but that grade is taken into account by the definition of how we measure height.
This is Deputy City Attorney Amy Brothers. If I might ask Commissioner Perlman, are you talking about the comment about transitional height, because there is for this type of project it is authorized to have four incentives, and one of the incentives is to waive the transitional height requirements, and you may if I'm understanding you correctly, perhaps planning has more they can say about this.
I'm thank you, Amy. I'm just trying to understand the legal restrictions that were referenced by the speaker, which I understood to say that this sort of height and project is not allowed abutting R1. So I was simply seeking guidance on that.
And I apologize. This is Jane Choi again for the record. As Deputy City Attorney Amy Brothers did state, the applicant is requesting for the waiver, an off-menu incentive, to waive the transitional height requirements. So they are explicitly asking for that that waiver of that requirement in addition to the state law allowances for the total height.
Right. Jane, I'm sorry. Can you let me get my question answered by the city attorney, because I understand what they're asking. I understand the on-menu and off-menu incentives that have been requested and are before us. I'm just trying to understand the speaker's point that was raised and get some clarification with respect to the ability to have a project like this directly abutting R1.
There is a transitional height requirement. That's the only thing that really impacts this. However, planning has a long practice of allowing an applicant to get a density bonus incentive to waive that transitional height requirement. So it's not exactly that there's a problem abutting the R1 zone. It's just that there is a code requirement in the municipal code that requires a transitional height. In other words, you typically wouldn't have the entire height be authorized to be right up against that R1. And there's like within 25 feet, within 50 feet, there's different gradations. However, as I mentioned, planning has a long-standing practice, and so does this commission, of waiving the transitional height requirement as an incentive. And this project, because of the way it is configured, is now allowed under state law to get four incentives. One of the incentives that this applicant has sought and which planning is recommending is a waiver of the transitional height requirement.
Okay, I think you answered my question. Thank you, Amy, at the very beginning. So that clarifies it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. I'm going to go to David Ambrose now. Go ahead, David.
Excellent. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Great. I don't have anything to add other than the absurdity of anything that impacts the number of units or the design of the building to preserve a view corridor for a billboard. No would be my opinion on that. I think we should house people, and prioritizing in particular people that are vulnerable and in need other than more visual blight with signs. I don't think the comment affects the project, so I don't have any changes, but I just wanted to call that out as another instance where signs versus the public health has come up. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Caroline Cho.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I am so thrilled to see this project, especially in this area. I think there's a lot of underutilized properties and a lot of blight. And so it's just great to see this project come up, and especially to see KYCC, which I think is a really excellent organization. They've been in the community for many, many decades, and they've also evolved as the community has evolved. I think the name of the organization can be a little deceiving, but they've really just adapted to the constituents as the demographics have changed. And so I'm very thrilled to see it. I wish it can go higher. I understand the concerns of the neighboring property owner. So I do have one question to the applicant. Could you talk a little bit about any kind of like shielding or greenscaping that you're doing so that they are aware of that to, respect the R1 that is abutting the property?
I've unmuted Olivia's phone. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Olivia Johnsic. So yes, it's a great question. And actually one of our requests for averaging is intended to allow for additional screening at that rear property line, because of the way that the open space requirements for trees is written, it would not otherwise allow it to be in the R1 zone if the property on which the project is proposed is in a more permissive zone. And so we've requested that we are allowed to place some of the required trees that we have in that rear portion of the rear yard in the R1 zone. So there will be ample foliage there to provide additional screening. And then to speak to the kind of questions about transition, again, this building was actually designed to comply with the TOC version of transitional height. And when we changed the application, we had to include a request for incentive to waive this requirement because density bonus doesn't have similar language. And so while the building does have a height increase, it still does transition away from the R1 units to the rear and tries to put all of the mass towards Crenshaw Boulevard.
Thank you. I'm I'm going to move to Helen Learn.
Thank you. I agree with what many of my fellow commissioners have said. I want to especially echo what Commissioner Choi said with this development team having a long history in this neighborhood and to be able to complement their existing services to support this project, I think will be a great service to the community. I want to acknowledge that for many of the adjacent neighbors that it is tough to see that change, but given the thorough kind of analysis of the zoning, what is allowed, I do believe it's very appropriate here. I commend the developer team for kind of adjusting to the changes and of the zoning and figuring out how to make a project work here. So I'm in support of this project, and I appreciate the thoughtfulness of how it's designed towards Crenshaw and is doing its best to transition between the residential properties that are next door.
Thank you, Helen. And I see Karen Mack has also raised her hand, so let me go ahead and unmute her. Go ahead, Karen.
I echo a lot of what my fellow commissioners have said. KYCC was one of the first organizations we worked with many years ago, and they have continued to grow and evolve and, you know, are just an important player in that community for the better. And so I know with them being involved, it's a strong project. And, you know, thinking about that stretch of Crenshaw, which is not that far from my house. I live at near Olympic and La Brea, so, you know, just west. So I'm there all the time. This really feels like an improvement to that stretch of Crenshaw, not to mention the services that it's going to provide and, you know, just an improvement to that, you know, vacant lot, which, you know, it's a perfect location, I think, for this project, which we are so challenged to find places that really provide a basis for creating more of this permanent supportive housing that we are so in need of. I think my only little concern, and I don't think this is a project to really delve into it, is this 55-year limit on affordability. I think we as a commission should think more globally about that limit and, you know, just think of it as a floor as opposed to a ceiling and, you know, just explore how to keep this affordable housing on the books for longer periods of time.
Thank you, Karen. I know that the length of the covenants, it has been a concern. You are not the first commissioner to bring that up. And I think we share that concern. And perhaps there can be a discussion down the line of how those time lengths are came into being and what would need to happen in order to extend those time lengths. Thank you. That was the last comment we had from commissioners. So if you would like to make a motion, please raise your hand at this time and I will call on you. Caroline?
This is Caroline. So I'd like to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
David Ambrose?
I second that motion.
Cecilia, we have a first and a second. Will you please call for the vote?
For the record, Commissioner Cho?
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose?
Yes.
Commissioner Learn?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Perlman?
Yes.
Commissioner Corsan?
Yes.
Commissioner Millman?
Yes.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. And Just following up on the request I made, I would like to request formally that we receive a report from staff, perhaps at one of our July meetings, about covenant lengths and how those covenant lengths are codified and what might need to happen in order to change the length of a covenant on these types of projects.
Just for the record, this is Kevin Keller, City Planning. We can bring that report back under a future director's report, and we will do some outreach to our housing department colleagues in the meantime to do some research and present the options. Thank you.
Thank you. I do think it would be excellent to have some HCID representation at that staff report. Thank you. Director's report, rather.